Aye. Just so you know, I'm really hot. I'm very uncomfortable. Also, not very prepared. So I had no idea what I was going to talk about. So I'm just going to wing it. Just going to throw it out there, whatever comes to mind. Now, let me ask you this. What was the first reaction you received from my introduction? Was it the first thing you thought, or it is the first thing you thought, when I presented myself just now the way I did? And looking at everybody's response, I witnessed surprise, mostly confusion, possibly disgust. Were you offended? Were you embarrassed that I would introduce myself in that manner, would say what I did? Especially now where we are to present ourselves in a more serious demeanor. For those of you who know me, it may have very well come as a surprise to you that I would present myself the way I did, especially in front of the podium, since I would obviously not do that regularly. And for those of you who would have seen or heard me for the very first time, may have had preconceived thoughts in mind of what type of person I am. Someone that who's unprepared. Someone that has no desire to be up here right now to speak. Somebody who's sloppy. Somebody that's unprofessional. Rude even. Or for those of you who may have wondered what I was getting at with this peculiar intro, may have thought, and correctly so, that there is indeed a point to all of this. How is it then that we present ourselves every day, when we are at work or in public, aside from church? How is it that we are presenting? And do we know what people may perceive of us as their first impression when they first see us for the first time? You know, a good first impression is very important, especially, for example, when it comes to a job interview. It is valuable how we present ourselves, and being prepared is always critical. For those of us who have jobs and associate with clients on a daily basis, a good first impression is also quite beneficial, as we want to have repeat customers, especially if they are first-time customers, because you want to butter them up and you want to make sure that they come back again. Now, that's probably exaggerating a little bit, but of course, you want to have that kind of impression where you will see them again. People that meet me for the very first time, of course this is very dependent on the environment that I am in, assume many things. First, they assume, perhaps by the way I look or the way I have my hair, that I would be a surfer. Or they would assume, depending on where I go, especially if I want to order a beer or something, they would think I'm underage. Sometimes they may even think, I don't know why, but they may assume that I'm a smoker. And I have people come up to me all the time asking me if I have a cigarette. Sometimes I've had several people actually assume that I was of royalty, that I looked like a certain royal figure out there, Prince William. I don't know, maybe in the past I may have looked like him, but I've had several people ask me that, especially if I'm wearing clothes like this. People, you know, assume that I'm athletic, which that is true, I am. But a lot of people also assume that I'm an American. And just the other day, someone mentioned, or I had mentioned that I was watching the Euro Cup and I was watching my team play. And they asked what team that was. And I said, oh, that was Germany. And first they were surprised that I even liked soccer. And second, then they looked at me, you know, because I told them I was German. And then they looked at me with a puzzled look on their face. And they said, well, no wonder I don't like you. But I'm sure he was just kidding. He better have been. But of course, I don't have an accent either, so that is a giveaway. Now, oftentimes, people may assume something different when they first see us. Would they ever assume right away that we are very religious, that we are the few that are chosen by God, that we are the first fruits, you think people would really assume that right away when they see us? Is that how we come across right away? Yes, we may have bad days from time to time, just like anybody else out there. And our persona may come across in a negative way. And unfortunately, others may pick up on that. On the flip side, we may also look at other people and think the same thing as well. But we should not judge too harshly, since we may not know what is going on through the other person's mind, because they also have bad days, just like we do. What is even just as, or sometimes even more important, is not just the first impression that we leave on others, but a lasting impression that we should leave behind. As people get to know us more and more, our overall attitude should be vital, since we are to act like Christians, as we are to imitate Christ. And in this society, it is extremely difficult to do so, but it is not impossible. Now, focusing on friendship, when it comes to people that we have known for a while, friends of ours, how do you think they would describe just what kind of person we may be? Of all the things that they would say about us, would they also consider us strong and deeply committed in our beliefs? That's an interesting question, especially people that really don't know us that well. But what about the people that know us very well, who have known us for years? Can they say that about us? The question is, what do we consider most important? Is it our friendship, or is it our beliefs? Of course, we must choose our friends wisely, not giving into anything that's contrary to God's word, as well as anything that would be against our conscience or may even affect us emotionally and spiritually. Now, friendship is tough, because you may know people, you know, you still consider everybody a friend, but fortunately in the society we live in, it's hard to avoid certain people. Just because someone is doing something doesn't mean you have to do it. You know, you just stand up and do what's right. Smoking, for example. You know, I'm surrounded by people that smoke. Doesn't mean I'm going to. And they know I don't. So, and I'm not going to make it extremely uncomfortable for them either by pointing them out, even though I do kid around saying that they will, you know, die if they keep smoking. But, you know, I'm not going to say you shouldn't do that because, or this and that, and offend them, because we don't want to do that either. But as long as we know, you know, what is right, and we do what is right. So let me ask you this. Do you consider yourself a good friend? And even if you have lost friends in whatever the case may be, did you leave a good impression? The important thing is that you and I must be a good friend. Notice in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 46, we read exactly what Christ says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Is that what we do every day? Is that what we pray about? It's hard to do that when you are in a situation and you say you have somebody that treats you in such a way. Verse 45, "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" It's an interesting comparison here. You know, the point, though, is separate ourselves from ordinary people and from those who God has chosen, which is us. We have examples to uphold, or we are the example. Now, what kind of hypocrite would we be if we did the total opposite and expect our friends to be friends with us? Now, even though we may do whatever we can to do to be a good friend, it is not always up to us. The other side has to feel the same way. If they don't, well, then that's their problem. But just remember, look at verse 48, what the whole reason behind this is. Why we should treat others the way we ought to. Verse 48, therefore you shall become, as it should be, perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is our ultimate goal. Since that is our goal, and if we do this, we wouldn't have to worry about leaving a bad impression. You did all that you could to be a good friend, and you made sure that you left a good impression. Now, a first impression, as you have heard, is often misleading. And with the examples that I gave on a first impression, people assume certain things, may assume wrong. However, it's the lasting impression which is crucial. And the greatest example of all time that we can refer to is that of Jesus Christ. Christ had a lasting impression on all our lives, and he still does. He did everything right, and yet one of his friends betrayed him, but Christ still responded to him as a friend before they took him away to be crucified. Let's notice this in chapter 26 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 through 50. Verse 47, while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whoever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. And Jesus knew exactly why he came, and he still looked to him as a friend, not as an enemy. Because ultimately, we were all be friends. Notice then what Judas did in chapter 27 of Matthew, verses 3 to 5. Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. See, he realized that. Now, what do you think the answer would have been if Jesus would have acted or responded in a different manner, in a manner of hate and, you know, towards Judas? He probably wouldn't have responded that way then, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down a piece of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now, since Christ admonishes that we treat enemies or those who use us spitefully in a manner of love, which is the ultimate, you know, way we are to conduct ourselves, the world may not think the same way. The world will hate us for it. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 18. We read, if the world hates you, you know it, that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the world might be fulfilled, or the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. So we see here, even though Christ saved everybody's life in a sense, they still hated him for it. And we might be in the same situation when that time comes. If it hasn't already, people knowing what we are all about don't like that. So that's why we have to be strong, and that's why we have to choose friends wisely and stand up for what is right. You know, our goal is to be as Christ, who is the light of the world. And we too will be just like him. And as a result, we'll leave a good impression on everyone. That will ultimately come. It may not come right now, but it will ultimately come. We must continue to do that now by doing what he tells us to. Since we are in John, notice chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. And in verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. In verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. Just like what I've been pointing out, how they all come together. We must do our part to love one another. So the most important thing in all of this is that we have to have our friendship first with God. We are called friends of God when we do his commandments. And it hurts when we lose a friend. I've been there. We have been there. We've lost many friends through the years. But remember, you still have other friends that care for you. And you can always make new friends. We in the church as a whole, we are all friends. Never forget that. We're never alone. And the friends we have lost, we'll be back one day and we will see them again. They will remember what we had told them, and hopefully by the good impression that we have left. Having a good first impression can be beneficial in many ways, especially with some of the things that are deemed necessary, as I have mentioned earlier, and also dependent in certain environments we are in. A good lasting impression is advantageous, since it shows that we are consistent in our actions, as we should be, expressing to others that we are good examples, representing Christ. And this will also be pleasing to him and God the Father. Also consider this, especially when it comes to spiritually speaking, and for the reasons that we are here, and for what our true potential will ultimately be. A good first impression is also a lasting impression.